Hello, FCS Nation. It's time for your show. I'm your host, Kevin Marshall. I'm coming to you this week from the beautiful Bitterroot Valley of Montana. And joining me like he does each week is the co-host of this program, Mr. Stone Labanowitz. Stone is coming to you from his broadcast center in the Sunshine State of Florida. Got a great show for you this week. We will have the return of the Stone Cold Quarterback segment with the aforementioned Stone Labanowitz and a special guest. But folks, we have some action to take care of from last week, so let's get it on. Up first, number one, North Dakota State 41, SEMO 14. Stone, SEMO hung in there for a minute, but Cole Payton's proven he can pass the football, sir.
SEMO did, yes, indeed, hang in there for a minute. I hinted last week that SEMO would test the Bison secondary. Oh, on the contrary, Cole Payton, third most yards in school history. 41-14 dub, of course, 350 yards, three touchdowns in the first half. These Bison, they're balling, and so is their quarterback.
Number two, South Dakota State, 37, Drake, 21. A little too close for comfort for the Jackrabbits here. Drake was pesky. They hung around. They have a lot of talent for a Pioneer League team. Stone, that seems to be a trend going around this year.
Is this single bit indicative to who this team actually is, the Jackrabbits? Absolutely not. Drake's been beat up too long. Like you mentioned, those Pioneer League schools have. This right here was their Super Bowl. They gave South Dakota State everything they could handle. Of course, the Jacks, kind of sloppy, didn't play their best ball, but you notch a W in the column and you keep things chugging along. This one I won't bat too much of an eye at.
Number three, Montana State, 41, San Diego, 14. San Diego was coming off a ranked victory, first one for them in a long time. Montana State, not fazed, they whipped them.
They did, and we talked about last week this Bobcats team coming in here with a bad taste in their mouth. Well, they handled up, and none other than Taco Dowler leading the way. Caught three passes, 51 yards and a TD, and all that in the first quarter. This guy is explosive. He does it in two different facets, and I think he is an asset for this team moving forward. But Montana State, they needed this win badly, and they picked it up.
Hey, folks, you're not going to find that kind of analysis anywhere else. Stone Labanowitz thinks Taco Dowler is an asset for the Montana State Bobcats team. Way to go, Stone. Number four, Tarleton State, 56, Central Arkansas, 10. You called this one, though, Stone. I thought Central Arkansas would hang around. Man, Tarleton State was all over the Bears from Jump Street.
All over on this team's a buzzsaw. And this UAC, this conference wants all the smoke. Got a lot of teams playing really good ball right now, but this Tarleton State squad is just scary. They do remind me a little bit of an Incarnate Word team that had Lindsey Scott as the signal caller, but instead Lindsey Scott was savvy on his feet. Gabalis, he can bring the electricity with his arm, and there's too many weapons. Just put the ball in one of their guys' hands and watch him go to work. This game was never close from start to finish.
Number five, Idaho 20, Utah Tech 6. Defensive battle, physical. Idaho, I think, is going to have to win a lot of these games like this, Stone, until that passing game really develops. Run the ball, play defense, low scoring. That is an Idaho recipe for victory so far this year.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, and they are going to have to continue to win games like this, although they will get used to it, I think. Joshua Wood and this offense have to break out of their cage and have one of those performances that make a fan base confident, because they haven't yet. And you have an FBS opponent knocking on your door, so kind of playing with fire here if you're the Vandals.
Number six, Montana, 24. Number 11, North Dakota, 23. This one was just a head-scratcher for me, Stone. North Dakota, to beat that bunch, the Montana Grizzlies and Washington Grizzly Stadium, you cannot leave 7 points on the football field. You can't just refuse to kick two field goals and miss an extra point and expect to win. And guess what? Those things came right back and bit North Dakota. A brilliant comeback win for Montana.
Yeah, they did. And all of those missed opportunities allowed them to claw their way back into this thing and obviously win by a point here in front of a sold-out crowd. Montana, just like Idaho, knows how to win these awkward games. Of course, behind center, you still have questions. There are still drives where we're left watching, scratching our heads, wondering what the hell is going on. But there was one thing that Bobby Houck said in his post-game presser that I reside with, that we often mention, that this North Dakota team is serious, that they're prepared each and every week, and they play big games better than anybody in the country. Bobby Houck echoed that. This North Dakota team is good. This Montana team needs to get better, but of course, they are good.
Well, Stone, Montana head coach Bobby Houck also said that this season has a leg up on it already because this Grizz team, he said, maybe wasn't mature enough yet to go win a football game like they did Saturday. Well, they got this one in the bag, and they learned a lot from it, that they're never really out of a football game, and this is a Grizz team that's full of youthful exuberance. with some steady hands of some transfers into the program who have some experience. I like this Montana team. I like them a lot. Defense is stout. They need to run the football a little better, take some pressure off of the quarterback Ayat. Don't make him go out there and win every ball game for you. Montana is going to be tough going forward. Number 7, Illinois State, 42. Eastern Illinois, 30. Rivalry game was maybe more high scoring than I thought. Illinois State's pretty good on the offensive side of the ball, Stone. They have a very good combination of quarterback, running back, wide receiver. Our friend, Alex Kinkle, from Jackrabbit Illustrated, thinks it may be the best three-headed monster in the country.
I love it. I love that take. They got a lot of juice. For this game in particular, I don't like to see Eastern Illinois scoring and putting up 30 points on you, but it is an in-state rivalry. This game had a little extra something to it, but to see the Birds put up 42, that's promising because they got firepower. Like you said, Alex Kankel is on the scene with these guys, big-time three-headed monster. They're going to win ball games, the ones that they should, but when it comes to those Valley games, and you are nowhere near favored, those are the ones that are key here that we have circled.
Number 10, Southern Illinois, 37. Number 21, UT Martin, 10. The DJ Williams Show. There's not a whole lot that young man doesn't do and do it extremely well. He proved it yet again. When he's in there, and if they can keep him healthy, Southern Illinois is going to be a factor nationally going forward.
You're darn right they are, Kevin. I called blowout here and we got it. Southern Illinois was minus 130 on the money line here, folks. I have a new pair of shoes. I got a couple of new hats. I got some FCS Nation swag, all thanks to the Salukis. Listen, it's the DJ Williams Show. He did it all. 13 of 18 seems quiet, right? Two Bills in the air with a touchdown, but he had 14 rushes for a buck 30. And guess how many touchdowns on the ground? Three of them. They ran for almost 300 yards, the most in a game since 2021. The Southern Illinois team is balling, surging, just climbing the ranks, and you do not want to see them. And they got a big-time matchup on the horizon this weekend.
And if you want to get yourself some of that swaggy FCS Nation merch, just log onto our website, FCSNationRadio.com, click the shop button. Folks, I am not being facetious when I say that we got one of everything. Give us a look. Number 22, West Georgia, 35. Number 18, East Tennessee State, 31. West Georgia continues to be one of the better stories at FCS so far in the early season. They're keeping it rolling. East Tennessee State, they got two FBS transfer quarterbacks, but I think they finally figured out you can only play one of them at one time because it's only one football. And they just didn't play any defense against West Georgia. West Georgia's running game is for real.
Oftentimes, if you listen to the show, you will hear me show love to the encyclopedia that is my co-host Kevin Marshall for his foresight with a lot of these teams, a lot of it behind the scenes when it comes to the coaching staff. Nobody in the offseason, nobody in the preseason on air was talking about Joel Taylor and this West Georgia team. Kevin Marshall was. This team's undefeated right now. This team is ranked. This team has big wins, and this one, the most epic of them all, down 11 in the fourth quarter. They squeak out of here. 15 unanswered in the fourth. This team has grit. They got an offense. They got skill play. They got everything that you're looking for in a contender, especially for somebody coming out of the UAC where you're kind of slept on and sitting in a blind spot. West Georgia is a group to look out for, unblemished right now.
It's time for us to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll finish up with last week's action by giving you the National Players of the Week, brought to you by Northwestern Mutual, and then we'll unveil the brand new FCS Nation Top 25. The replay segment is brought to you by GameStrat. Looking to gain a real edge on game day? GameStrat is the number one choice for in-game video in the FCS and is trusted by championship programs at every level. With instant access to in-game video, lightning-fast uploads, and no internet required, GameStrat helps coaches make real-time adjustments that win football games. It's easy to use, ultra-reliable, and backed by top-rated support. Don't settle for less. Upgrade to GameStrat and keep up with what the top programs in the country are choosing for their in-game video. Visit GameStrat.com to learn more and schedule your demo today. That's GameStrat.com. Thanks for hanging with us during the break. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. It's now time for us to unveil the FCS Nation Radio National Offensive and Defensive Players of the Week, brought to you by Northwestern Mutual. The FCS Nation Radio National Offensive Player of the Week is running back, South Dakota, LJ Phillips Jr. last week versus Northern Colorado. Listen to this stat line, y'all. 35 carries, 301 yards, 8.6 yards a carry, 2 touchdowns, and greater than the sum of all those things led his South Dakota Coyotes to a much-needed win. The FCS Nation Radio National Defensive Player of the Week is Joshua Stone King, defensive line, Furman Paladins. Last week versus Campbell, Joshua Stone King may as well have lined up in the offensive backfield, y'all. 6 tackles, 4.5 of them for a loss, a forced fumble, and 2.5 sacks. And on the last play of the football game, Campbell's driving to win it. Stone King comes up huge for the Furman Paladins with the sack that ended the ball game that led the Furman Paladins to a road win over Campbell. Congratulations to L.J. Phillips Jr., running back, South Dakota, and Joshua Stone King, defensive line, Furman, for being named the FCS Nation Radio National Offensive and Defensive Players of the Week, brought to you by Northwestern Mutual. And now I hold in my hand the brand new FCS Nation Radio Top 25 for Week 3. Number 1, the North Dakota State Bison. Number 2, the South Dakota State Jackrabbits. Number 3, the Montana State Bobcats. Number 4, the Tarleton State Texans. And number 5, the Montana Grizzlies. People ask, why didn't you move Tarleton State past Montana State? It's basically the same reason, y'all, that I didn't do it last week. Montana State, well, they played Oregon, and they played South Dakota State, and they absolutely mud-stomped San Diego on Saturday. I feel like Montana State's earned that third spot right now. Tarleton State is right there nipping at the heels, though, y'all. It's close. It's very close. Maybe this is the week they get past. We'll see. Number 6, the Idaho Vandals. Number 7, the Illinois State Redbirds. Number 8, rising with the bullet, the Southern Illinois Salukis. Number 9, Villanova Wildcats. And rounding out the top 10, the Austin Peay Governors.
Kevin, is it odd seeing 10 next to Austin Peay? For me, face value it is, but watching this team play, I 100% think they're bona fide top 10. But did you struggle placing them inside that top 10?
No, sir. They have an FBS win, and just like we discussed before, they went to Athens, Georgia, and stood toe-to-toe with the Georgia Bulldogs. And anybody who thinks that's hyperbole, go back and watch that football game. And we try not to draw too much as FCS media from the ball games against the football bowl subdivision. In our view, they can only help you. They can't hurt you because a lot of times of the unequal nature of the contest. Right? But Austin Peay, they went down there and they competed. They didn't compete against the backups or the third team in the third and fourth quarter. They competed from the opening whistle, and they earned my respect. Last week, dominating win. They earned the right to be a top 10 team because they are a top 10 team right now. But the big question mark, I think, is number 8, Southern Illinois. Are they a top 10 team? They're going to have to sell me. Number 11, the North Dakota Fighting Hawks. Number 12, Rhode Island Rams. Number 13, the Lamar Cardinals. Staying steady at number 14, the South Dakota Coyotes. Rising to number 15, Tennessee Tech. The one of that bunch that is intriguing to me, Stone, is Tennessee Tech. They got Bobby Wilder, the head football coach there. He knows who he is, knows what he's trying to achieve. He's a hell of a football coach. He's got Tennessee Tech playing like a top 10 team. They just haven't got there yet. I do believe they're headed there, though, with a quickness. Number 16 is Lehigh. Number 17, UC Davis Aggies. Number 18, the West Georgia Wolves. Number 19, Gardner-Webb. And rising to number 20, Northern Arizona.
Kevin, realistically, what is this West Georgia team's ceiling? And when I say ceiling, I mean on this top 25 poll. Are they a team with more wins under their belt that can creep inside the top 15? Or is that 15 an up number typically where we're going to see them land?
I think West Georgia can win a lot of football games the rest of the way. Again, competently led, and they love to run the football, and the defense is pretty darn good when it needs to be. You can move the ball between the 30s on West Georgia, but inside that red zone, they sure tighten their belt up a whole bunch. But the one that I really still don't know anything about in this group is UC Davis. They had the canceled game against Mercer in the FCS kickoff, got blown out by an FBS opponent, struggled to beat Utah Tech. Utah Tech had UC Davis beat. And to their credit, they got up off the mat, came back and won that football game on the road. So credit to them. But how good is UC Davis? And Lehigh, I've seen every second of Lehigh football this year. I think Lehigh is a pretty good team. I think we could see them rise, but the one that really intrigues me is Northern Arizona. Ty Pennington, their quarterback, can really spin it. He's tough. He's not afraid to pull the ball down and get the tough yards with his legs. I like this Northern Arizona team. We all know how difficult it is to go into the walk-up Sky Dome and Flagstaff, Arizona, and win. And the fact they got a gunslinger back there, too, plus the elevation, plus the crowd, plus the dome, Northern Arizona is a team that's going to give a lot of people a whole bunch of problems going forward. Number 21 is Abilene Christian. Number 22 is Jackson State. 23, the East Tennessee State Buccaneers. Rising to number 24, the Presbyterian College Blue Hose. And number 25 is the Furman Paladins. It's time for us to take a timeout. When we come back, we'll preview the biggest games taking place in FCS football this week. I know you'll want to hang out for that. We'll be right back. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. And we're back. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. Now time for the preview segment. This is where Stone Lebanowitz and I take a quick trip all over FCS Nation, and we preview the biggest games taking place in FCS football this week. Up first, Mercyhurst is at Montana State. Stone Lebanowitz, there's a lot to like about this Mercyhurst team. They're tough. Their quarterback played with what looked like a whole roll of Gauss taped to his chin last week at Sacramento State, and they gave the Hornets all they wanted for a while. I have a pretty good feeling that they're not going to lay down for Montana State, but I think Montana State's starting to get that offense going. Lamson's been efficient throwing the football. We know they can run it. Defense is pretty stout. I think this Montana State team is starting to round into form.
I agree with you. And as odd as this is to say, this Montana State team is looking for wins. And Mercyhurst comes across your schedule. You are licking your chops. I do agree with you about Lamson finding some efficiency, finding some rhythm. He's been playing quietly good, in my opinion, all season long. But it's all coming together. The other 10 guys are gelling with him as well. And this team's going to continue to rack up wins as they progress throughout the season. It's Mercyhurst. You got to lay it on them.
Chattanooga travels across the country to Texas to take on number 4, Tarleton State. Chattanooga is the type of team that can give Tarleton some problems, I think, Stone. Chattanooga has athletes all over the place. The problem's never lack of athletic ability with the Chattanooga Mocs. It's getting them all to come together and play together. And just play good, solid, defensive, offensive football. For whatever reason, all that talent, that don't happen a whole bunch for that Chattanooga group. Well, if they can put it all together this week at Tarleton, they'll give the Texans all they can handle. This is a dangerous, dangerous ball game, I believe, for Tarleton State.
You're right in the fact when Chattanooga does have some talent and some skill, this team's good. They're not only a problem in the SoCon, but they're going to sneak somebody else on their schedule that they probably shouldn't. The problem here, we've mentioned this for weeks now, is you've had to replace 40 guys. And as we approach week 4, you ask the question, have they filled those holes? Do they have all the answers to head into week 4 confidently and onward the rest of the season? The answer is no. There are still glaring holes offensively at the quarterback position. You still aren't quite convinced. And you have a Tarleton State team up next. And it's not a game that you're favored in, but it's a game that paper is winnable. It's Chattanooga. It's Tarleton State. For Chattanooga, this has to be the week you put it all together, or we will start mentioning that this team is mailing it in. But we're not going to, because they never have done that. I'm just saying.
Indiana State is at number 5, Montana. A much lesser opponent this week for Montana in Indiana State. But don't tell Batrees that. Their football coach, one of the best ones in the country. He'll have them fired up. He'll do the us against them thing. Nobody believes in us thing. And Indiana State will play hard. They will fight in this ball game, and they will be a problem for Montana. Montana gets good quarterback play. They'll win the football game. Y'all, you're going to hear me say that a lot this year. Montana gets good quarterback play, they'll win the football game. I think they will this week, probably, but you never know. Indiana State does do some things on defense to confuse quarterbacks. If it works enough times, the Grizz could be in a smidgen of amount of trouble here.
As basic as it is to say that if Montana gets good quarterback play, they're going to win and they're going to be good. Although that's basic, it really is what we're looking at here with Montana on a week-to-week basis. It's tough to grade them because they can
never get going on offense. So it seems like it's always skewed and you're looking elsewhere trying to point fingers before you can really get down to the fact that this is the offense's problem. But you beat a UND team. That win right there is going to give you confidence because UND is really good. So all eyes on Montana, following up a ranked win against a Valley school with another beatable Valley school. This bodes well for Montana. Got to get this one done.
Number six, Idaho is at San Jose State of the FBS. I think this is a gettable FBS scout for Idaho. They're going to have to play their best ball game to date, no doubt. They're going to have to get the ball down the field to wide receivers for explosive plays. Nothing excites Stone Labanowitz more than explosive plays and skilled position guys. You're going to need a couple of those. You're going to need to make some plays on the specialty teams. Idaho has better than a puncher's chance in this ballgame. The talent level isn't all that much different between the Vandals and San Jose State. I think Idaho has a pretty good chance, better than 35-40% of winning this football game.
Listen, if Idaho plays the same style of football that they've played up until this point, they'll lose this game by two possessions. If they do put together four quarters, especially on the defensive side, that pass rush is ferocious, and it seems like it is every single year. This is a gettable game. I don't hate the number whatsoever, 35-40%. I think that's pretty accurate, but Idaho has to put four quarters together, and you're not lying about explosive. Wood has to hit some shots downfield. Idaho needs cheap points. They live off of cheap points. If they have to work for it, it's going to be a four-quarter ball game. We could get one here. Interested, to say the least, to find out, because this is Idaho's ultimate test so far.
Number eight, Southern Illinois is at SEMO. Stone, this is the war for the wheel, and you're a former Southern Illinois quarterback, so I'll just give you the floor here.
Yeah, this one's big. It's big for a lot of reasons, but I think what's on tape and what's on paper here heavily favors Southern Illinois. I just think they're at a spot in the season where it just doesn't matter who they're playing, and they're playing their best ball. They go toe-to-toe with Purdue, and then they lay it on UT Martin, a team, like I said, that was a pick'em before kickoff, and you have a SEMO team who I don't think is as good as UT Martin, so this one's lopsided on paper, but things get weird in this ball game. I've seen time after time, I've also been a part of these games where it's a game in the fourth quarter and nobody knows why. No matter what, this game's going to find itself close. I just can't buy it, though. I just can't buy it. The Southern Illinois team is too good right now. I think they have this game within grasp, and I think you get a DJ Williams show 2.0. But the war for the wheel, cross the river, you need this one. But for them, they're trying to keep the wheel at home.
Interesting fact, lately the team that has won this football game has gone to the playoffs, and the one who has lost it has not. Something to look for. Number nine, Villanova is at others receiving votes, Monmouth. This one's intriguing, Stone. You got Monmouth, who can't play defense, and you got Villanova, who's offensively challenged. Something's got to give.
This game excites me. Kevin, you obviously know why. It's offense versus offense. You already mentioned Monmouth cannot play defense. You put McQuaid, Robertson, these two dueling it out. This game will have my attention from kickoff to the very last whistle. As far as a side, this out of the entire slate is the most coin flippy of them all. And for that, I'm excited. Villanova has a lot to prove, though. A lot of question marks as to are they actually a top 10 team? This right here will prove that. If they can play some defense, I think they are.
Number 10, Austin Peay is at number 21, Abilene Christian. Austin Peay, very good defense. Very good defense, y'all. Abilene Christian, they like to throw the football and be a little bit more, I call it balanced plus. They have the ability to really throw the football, but they're a decent running team too. What's going to be key in this one for Austin Peay is to try to get up early in this ballgame, Stone, and let your defense work. And I think Austin Peay will be able to do that here. And if you're Abilene Christian, you just want to make this into a track meet and hope Austin Peay can't keep up. That's their recipe for victory. For the Governors, it's continue to play how you've been playing. Play defense, run the football, get out of there with a win. It's going to be a tough, tough thing to do, but Austin Peay is the type of team that can go into Abilene, Texas and come away with a victory.
Yeah, there's no damn doubt about that. Listen, for Abilene Christian, they're going to throw the ball 50 times this game because you do need a track race. This Austin Peay team is too complete. You go into this game with the vibe as far as that head coach and that quarterback coach and the one calling the plays are concerned. Whoever punts first loses this one. At least that's how you go into this thing. But Austin Peay is full of a bunch of rock stars. This team contended against Kirby Smart's Georgia Bulldogs. This team contended against other FBS. This team is just really really good. There's just no other way around it. They are almost a 2-touchdown favorite against another top 25 team. That should tell you pretty much everything you need to know. If you're Austin Peay, though, I think it comes down to just having a good week of practice and maintaining some momentum. If they do that, they'll continue to be a buzzsaw. I like this spot for Peay, but Abilene Christian's got a little something to him. They can be a little tricky sometimes, especially when that ball takes flight and they get in rhythm.
Valpo is at number 11, North Dakota. Man, I'd hate to be Valpo this week. I believe Valpo will be Alpo in Grand Forks, North Dakota.
I got nothing to add there. I love it. Yeah, this Valpo team lost to Adrian, a Division III school. UND is going neck and neck with whoever, let alone Kansas State, early week two. I love this spot from North Dakota. They should cruise, but got to put it all together.
Long Island is at number 12, Rhode Island. I think that Rhode Island is going to be this year's paper tiger. Well, who am I kidding? They were kind of last year's paper tiger as well, Stone. The CAA schedule maker, let's say, did them a lot of favors. And if you don't believe me, just go check out the 2025 football schedule for Rhode Island. They're going to win a lot of games. They're going to have a gaudy record. And they'll probably handle LIU here out of the conference. But I'm not a believer in them yet. They're going to have to make me one.
Paper Tiger, well, here's your chance to get got. Long Island, this is a team that has an FBS scalp over Eastern Michigan, and mind you, they led that game from start to finish and never did not lead. I like Long Island in this spot, especially if you see a jacked up line the way of Rhode Island. If you are a believer like we are that this Rhode Island team are Paper Tigers, here's your chance to kind of take the other side. I think Long Island will have something. For Rhode Island here. This one is circled for a plethora of reasons, but mostly because I think Rhode Island is maybe on upset alert.
Drake is at number 14, South Dakota. Well, if you're Drake, you couldn't beat South Dakota State last week, so you may as well head down to Vermillion and try South Dakota, right? Maybe they just stayed over there. I don't know. It's FCS football. It wouldn't surprise me if they stayed in a campground somewhere with some tents. But then Drake does have that basketball money, so maybe not, right? But I think Drake competes here, and this is a scary game for the Yotes. They have been offensively challenged, needed a 300-yard rusher last week. How many times you going to have that, Stone? That's like a once-in-a-lifetime type of deal, right? See a guy rush for 300 yards. They need that against Drake. We have severely overrated this South Dakota program, and we'll be the first to admit it if we have. But Aiden Bauman needs to be able to throw the football. We've all seen him do it. We have seen him be a very, very productive FCS quarterback. I need to see it this week against Drake.
Listen, I don't see this game being close whatsoever. When you get last week's game fill of Drake playing South Dakota State, here's the angle that I look at this from. If you're South Dakota, there is no other school in the entire country who you know better and who you've watched more tape on than South Dakota State. And you have fresh tape 7 days prior of them playing the same team that is coming into your house. South Dakota will have these guys schemed up. They will get out of the gates hot. Bauman will find some rhythm. The offense will have their way with Drake. I don't think this game's close. And might I say, this is the most disrespectful spread, if it's true, and it's under that 5 number, that I've seen covering the FCS. South Dakota has a point to prove, and they'll prove it.
Number 16, Lehigh, is at Bucknell. Bucknell struggled against the Virginia Military Institute last week. VMI is an air raid team. Lehigh kind of wants to be that with a smidgen of running attack. Not a very good combination for Bucknell, although they are at home, so you can't count them out. Lehigh, if you want to be the Patriot League champion this year and advance into the playoffs and have the type of season you think you can have, back up what you did last year, you got to be able to go on the road and handle Bucknell. Southern Utah is at number 17, UC Davis. This will be a test for UC Davis because there's a smell about this Southern Utah team, and that smell is desperation. They got beat by San Diego 2 weeks ago. Last week, they lost in dramatic fashion to Northern Arizona at home. This is a team desperate for a win. UC Davis, we don't know what they are yet. The jury is still way out on them. I don't like this matchup for Davis, as I expect Southern Utah to try everything they can to get out of there with a victory. I mean, trick plays, double passes, fake punts, kickoff reverses. Everything they got, they're desperate for a win. I expect them to empty it all. Eastern Kentucky is at number 18, West Georgia.
Get off the tracks because the train is coming. This West Georgia team can't stop, won't stop. They're playing with confidence. They're obviously playing with momentum, and you have an Eastern Kentucky team who doesn't have an identity. I think this West Georgia team gets out of the gates early, goes up 2 possessions here, and cruises the rest of the way. Never predicted a West Georgia game going like that, but this 2025 squad is just a little different. Like I said, I expect them to come out of the gates firing here.
Incarnate Word is at number 20, NAU. Well, Northern Arizona, that walk-up Sky Dome is appropriately named because you walk really up to get there, y'all. It's elevated, and it's a really tough place to play. We've seen a lot of good football teams go in there and come out with nothing but a big L for their troubles. Incarnate Word, quarterback change this week. We'll see if it helps them. But I know who the quarterback's going to be for Northern Arizona. It's going to be Ty Pennington, and I think he probably makes all the difference. It's time for us to take another time out.
You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network.
Thanks for staying with us during the break. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. It's now time for my favorite time of the week, y'all. It's the pick segment. This is where Stone Obanowitz and I go head-to-head, face mask to face mask, and we pick the biggest games taking place in FCS football. Well, Stone, we got an awful lot of games to get to in a short time to get there. Let's just get right to it. Up first, Mercyhurst is at number 3, Montana State.
I like Montana State here. I don't think this one is close at any point throughout four quarters. Give me the Bobcats, 48-3 on top of Mercyhurst.
There are a lot of things I like about this Mercyhurst team, and they'll fight you. But the Bobcats, they're beginning to get on a roll. Take number 3, Montana State in Bozeman, 42-17. Chattanooga is at number 4, Tarleton State.
I think this one is odd, tricky, slippery for Tarleton State, but they will win this one, 30-17. Chattanooga is going to give them everything they got.
Can Tarleton State stand prosperity? I believe they can. Take Tarleton State at home over Chattanooga, 31-21. Indiana State is at number 5, Montana.
I like Montana here, and I do think they win comfortably, and that's not something you're going to hear us say on this show, but they will get rid of the trees here, 28-10, in what is kind of a sleeper, but a win for the Grizz.
The Grizz are going to clear cut the trees in Missoula, and that's not a popular thing out here, trust me. Number 5, Montana wins over Indiana State at home, 38-17. Number 6, Idaho is at San Jose State of the FBS.
I think San Jose State outlasts them through four quarters. Give me the Spartans, 28-13.
I'm very, very tempted here, y'all. But I don't think Idaho has the passing game yet to get this bit of business done. Take San Jose State of the FBS over number 6, Idaho, in a close one, 30-24. North Alabama is at number 7, Illinois State.
The Redbirds with Ritterhouse at quarterback obviously find a way here. I do think this thing is tied in the fourth quarter. But the Birds, they'll squeak out of here, 28-21, 7-point victory.
Well, we always give Brock Spack credit for having the best mustache in college football. Mm-hmm. Well, Brent Deerman's got one of the best beards in all of college football. So, matchup between the stash and the beard. And I like the stash here, mostly because of Tommy Rittenhouse and Winker's right to find running back. And they'll do what they do, and it'll be too much for North Alabama. But take number 7, Illinois State, at home over North Alabama, 34-17. Number 8, Southern Illinois is at SEMO.
I like Southern Illinois. I like them even more that they go on the road across the river to play SEMO. That stadium, personally, one of the most slept on. It feels like an arena football stadium. Everybody's just so close to the field. Listen, straight up, this game's not close. All bias aside, I said it last week and it came to fruition. I think the same thing plays out, except I think Southern Illinois doesn't do it on the ground. They do it on the air, which equals more points. Southern Illinois, 42. SEMO, 17.
The Salukis, well, they go how DJ Williams goes. And right now, he's a-rolling, and so will the Salukis. Take number 8, Southern Illinois, over SEMO and the War for the Wheel, 38-20. Number 9, Villanova, is at others receiving votes, Monmouth.
First one to punt here loses. I think Monmouth's going to be the first one to punt here. This is a one-possession game. It has it written all over it. Jam the over, whatever the number is. I think Villanova, Pat McQuaid, squeak out of here, 38-35. Could be a game winner. Could be kind of whoever has the ball last wins. All that. This has the makings of a game of the week. I just hope it all plays out like that because these teams can be spotty. But I like Nova getting the victory here, like I said, 38-35.
Tough game to pick. Both of these squads are coming off FBS losses, but one of them competed and the other one didn't. Give me the one who did. Take Monmouth at home over number 9, Villanova, 31-30, and the upset special of the week. Number 10, Austin Peay, is at number 21, Abilene Christian.
Give me Austin Peay, 33 to Abilene Christian's 20.
Austin Peay has a very, very good defense. And the Govs, well, they're going to need it facing in that high-octane offense of Abilene Christian. Wildcats are at home, and that gives them the edge here. Take number 21, Abilene Christian, over number 10, Austin Peay. Upset special of the week number 2. Take Abilene Christian, 34-31. Valparaiso is at number 11, North Dakota.
Valpo will be lucky to get on the scoreboard in this one. Give me the Fighting Hawks, 45-7. There's just no team you want to play on the road. It's the Fighting Hawks here all the way.
Good teams don't win in Grand Forks, and Valpo, well, they ain't that. North Dakota wins this one by as many as they want. Long Island is at number 12, Rhode Island.
Talk about tempted here. Long Island. What a shot. What an opportunity. What a chance you have. I do think they'll let it slip, but they will have a chance. Give me Rhode Island 28 to Long Island's 24.
In a battle of the islands, take Rhode Island number 12, Rhodey 24-17. Drake is at number 14, South Dakota.
Can we give this one a break here all week long? It's about how good of a game Drake's going to play. It's about how good they played last week. Well, last week ain't this week. The price, it's gone up. Aiden Bauman going to have these guys moving and grooving here. Can't call it a breakout game because this team is really good. It's not a secret at South Dakota. Haven't played up to standard. Here's the opportunity. You have an inferior foe in your place. Take it out on them. Give me the Oats, 38-13.
This one, to me, Stone, is like an FCS game versus an FBS game in this way. You compete well against the FBS team, but it's the next week that you're worried about. Are you beat up? Are you sore? Are you bumped up? Are you bruised? I believe Drake is. That was a physical ball game. It takes a toll here. I hate the Drake here. Take South Dakota, 31-16. Number 16, Lehigh, is at Bucknell.
I like Lehigh here. This team's really strong. 28-7 over Bucknell.
Take number 16, Lehigh, on the road over Bucknell, 31-23. Southern Utah's at number 17, UC Davis.
Sneaky high-scoring affair here, but give me the Aggies, 35, to Southern Utah's 28.
I'm not sold on UC Davis, but Southern Utah is just not good on defense. Davis wins in a shootout, 41-38. Eastern Kentucky is at number 18, West Georgia.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. There's absolutely no reason to get off of this West Georgia train. Give me them boys, 30 to EKU's 13.
Well, I'm getting off, Stone, and here's the reason why. Eastern Kentucky's run defense is pretty good. They're going to show up, Eastern Kentucky is, and they're going to make West Georgia beat them throwing the football. I'm not sure West Georgia can do it. Take Eastern Kentucky on the road over number 18, West Georgia, 27-20. Upset special of the week, number 3. And our final game, Stone, Incarnate Word is at number 20, Northern Arizona.
Lumberjacks have something to say. Give me NAU, 30 to Incarnate Word's 28.
NAU quarterback Ty Pennington is clutch, and the walk-up Sky Dome is a very, very tough place to win. Take number 20, Northern Arizona, at home over Incarnate Word, 38-30. That brings us to the end of another episode of FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. FCS Nation is co-hosted and produced by Mr. Stone Labanowitz. I'm executive producer and host Kevin Marshall, thanking you for making FCS Nation a small part of your football week. And like always, do y'all, I'd like to remind you that life's a lot like football. You play by the rules and the penalties won't kill you. Until next week, so long, everybody.